Welcome, Poggers, to another episode of The Pog State. Only 1 week after the one we had prior, our 50th episode, and we're doing it in the middle of LOL Park because it is time for the playoffs. I'm Atlas, of course, joined by Valdez, Chronicler, and Wolf once again. This episode going to be all about the playoffs after we have addressed something that we spoke about at the very beginning of the season, and that was our predictions. And thankfully, our beautiful producer, G-Sun, has given us the awards for every single place. We have Sad Face Place. We have third place. And we have second place. And we have first. So I am going to pass these up. I'll take the fourth one.
Frounce.
You can take the... Did I say Frounce?
No, I'm saying I'm calling it Frounce.
Oh, Frounce Place. Right. Oh, that's good.
He's randomized, Wolf.
All right.
It's just in order.
It's a straight line.
It's just in order.
That's how we're supposed to do it.
So what do we start with?
Okay,
Third?
No, I think we do it
handwriting is quite...
It's actually...
I know, it's exquisite, isn't it?
It's really well done.
Yeah. Really, really pretty.
What do I have to put into this?
Definitely not me.
I will start it off.
Oh no! But this is the only one that we don't know about.
By the way, all these three envelopes are the same, whereas this one looks like a bill.
It's the envelope of shame.
I feel like that's exclusively
Very
for Frounce Place.
Oh, as, I saw it. Right.
Oh, it's definitely me.
And.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
it's okay. I may have called it Frounce because I just wanted to soften the blow. Trying to create the euphemism for being last is I'll just very briefly talk about why I lost. I took some pretty crazy risks in terms of what I was thinking early on in the season, like putting Kwangdong in fourth. Then I had to swap Live Sandbox on that spot because it was the only swap that made sense for me to try to, like, recover because any other swap wouldn't have helped. So the Sandbox also didn't end up getting fourth place, so that didn't
Yeah, I do
really.
Have to remind everyone that we were allowed to swap after round one concluded.
And
we could swap one team with another team.
We all swapped Sandbox.
Yeah, we all did, yeah.
So, for different teams, but yeah.
So it was, you know... It's not what the season I expected. But remember, when I did my votes, I was like, well, it's definitely not Hanwha right now. Like, the fourth
if
place
you
ball,
go
I was like,
back
it's not
to the episode,
Sandbox. Like,
yeah, if you go back to the episode, it's actually great. The justification is great, and yeah. I honestly believe that it's worth it from
hilarious.
There.
Yeah,
I think KT really was the one who, like, ended up surprising us all and doing very well. The rest of them, like, they did better than I thought at the beginning because nobody looked good in week one and week two, but, like, you know, results may vary depending on what your expectations were. I kind of guessed wrong.
All right, let's go with third place. Valdez, do the honors if you
this
could.
Absolutely me. there was a naughty anti-KT voter in this one, and I was not able to swap them any higher halfway through, so this has to be me. Valdez.
Look at that.
That's me. Very nice font. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Why isn't my font cool like that?
Sure.
What is
Am I just
like?
Times New Roman?
Like,
I'm
Comic Sans.
The Comic Sans me. Jason Comic Sans me.
Like, oh. It's really so fancy.
Sweet God. I can't believe it. I mean, I deserve it. I deserve it, so.
Oh, no. It was worse than we thought.
It was really just KT that got you, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's basically like I had Live Sandbox low, but also KT really low because I wasn't a believer. I'm like, oh, I'm not, I don't know. Like, I feel like Keen and BDD really need to turn things around. And they did. They really proved me wrong. I talked about this a lot in episodes past. I've already repented for my sins, but I still get third place, but at least my name is not in Comic Sans.
KT fans should actually, like, thank you for not believing in
them.
The more you curse KT, the
there
better
they
perform.
I put them in eighth. They got third. It's like the exact opposite, you know? Like, couldn't have been better. Everything else is only, like, you know, one or two off.
We
I
had
guess,
a lot
so.
Of similarities as well. Our belief in Hanwha, which didn't end up, it was okay. It didn't really end up panning out, but it wasn't too bad.
All right, now let's do the last one.
I think we do first, right?
Well, I mean, I guess we could do both at the same time because we'll know who
but
first
we
is.
Know. We are
well,
all
we already know.
First. You can open it first.
Because you want to justify, like, we want to justify
ours.
Gonna
be, like, the
order,
font
right?
is going to be really cool when it.
Yeah,
when it
we need out. A font
I'm
reveal.
I'm fairly certain that, like Veldas, I have myself. As I am not able to actually open an envelope. Very unfortunate.
That should actually be part of the scoring. I think I'm actually no longer fourth.
I'm pretty sure this is going to say Chronicler. And here we go. I got myself as well.
Ooh,
very nice.
Yeah. It's a nice font as well.
I think it's the same.
Fancy? It's a big calligraphy.
I think maybe second and third get the same one.
Calligraphy-ish?
Yeah, calligraphy-ish.
Yeah, and then the first will be like super fancy. So now we also know.
Oh, font reveal. Font reveal.
Turns out it's orcs.
Like, hold on.
Atlas disqualified.
Yeah.
Wait, it says Hooney right here.
It's really big.
I wanted to
doesn't even say Altus. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Where's the Altus?
Or Atlas?
I also wanted it to be like word art, you know, like one of the old.
I thought it was just going to be like an upgrade of font every time, but apparently only I get Comic Sans.
You just get Comic Sans.
I mean, I think my score was significantly worse than Valdez's.
Yeah,
also,
I'm actually
so.
Curious about the score.
I'm not actually.
I really want to know how low Wolf was.
Okay, Chronicler, tell us
really,
where you went wrong.
I don't
really
have any large justifications, because I think if you look at my lineup, most of the people are like in the category where they belong. I just didn't have as much faith in KT. That's really, I think, the big difference maker between me and Max, because of that, they were like 3 ranks away, which I think plays a lot into the points instead of only 2. And then like a couple of swaps. Like if I put KT where Hanwha and Sandbox are, like, and slot them down, it would have been good. I think I definitely underestimated KT. I didn't really have the opportunity to swap because, like many others, I had Sandbox in 8th and then DRX, which that one didn't turn out. That was the one that got me, I think. Otherwise, maybe you couldn't have been able to swap a little bit, but
same.
Yeah, I didn't take any really big risks like Veldas with KT8 for Wolf with Kwangdong 4th. So that doesn't get you the loss, but it also doesn't get you to win.
And I almost actually got it perfectly right.
Yeah.
If D Plus had have actually won against Gen G this week, and if Kwangdong Freaks hadn't have been able to beat Bro, it would have just been actually it. I don't know how I did it, to be perfectly honest. It was basically gut feeling. The waters rang true this time around. Reminds me of the Hanwha Live from a couple of years ago.
Oh, I remember that one. or me with the DRX versus KT.
Yeah.
Lost world qualifier.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good one.
That was the waters.
But anyway, that is the result.
For Atlas?
From this one. Thank you, everyone. Thank you very
Congratulations.
Much. Congratulations,
non-comic Sansers.
Yeah. I can't believe they did you like
I'm so
that.
Happy they didn't tell us either.
You're just getting Comic Sans. But now we don't need to worry about the Comic Sans anymore, for it is time.
Are we going
to...
Like,
are we all right? I'm just going to place mine here.
All right, that's fine.
It is now time for some playoffs discussion. This is the exciting part. We now get down to brass tacks. And first, we need to have a discussion about what we predict the matchups are going to be. Because, of course, they are going to be decided probably before this will release. So you guys will know what all these brackets are going to look like. But for us right now, we don't know which teams are going to be chosen by both KT and D+. Well, I mean, it's KT that's doing the choosing, right?
So yesterday on this is Saturday, of course, for those watching the VOD and stuff like this, I did my crystal ball where I had KT getting third, which we knew was probably a given, right?
Yep.
To go against DRX, they were going to 2-0. They did. And then I expect, we actually don't have word yet, but we'll probably get word soon, that KT will pick Liv Sandbox. That means that Hanwha Life Esports will play against D+, right? And then my expectation then was that, of course, KT would win against Liv Sandbox, would be chosen by T1, and that D+ would also win, be chosen by, or would face off against Gen G. So then I just said T1's going to win everything and the rest is irrelevant, but that's kind of like, that hasn't really changed for me, obviously, after today's matches.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, the playoffs discussion is kind of going to be that T1 wins everything and then walks home the victors. So thank you so much for watching, guys.
That was awesome.
We'll
Great
see you
everyone.
Next episode.
Just kidding. Okay, so I believe we have a whiteboard that we will be able to bring out. So let's just take a moment and make that one appear magically.
Can I?
Whoa!
Amazing!
Look at
that's so cool.
I am sensing. By the way, look at that. Ring any bells? The envelopes, the numbers, no? Okay. I thought they looked the same.
Oh, yeah. It is beautiful handwriting. Yeah, sorry, I wasn't quite there,
like,
but now I am.
Bells? I'm like, yes, please subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yeah,
and
ring that bell
ring
notification to make
like
sure that you stay up to date.
And subscribe.
Yeah. Also, some really cool other content here on LCK Global. So, gentlemen, it is time to put in some predictions for the playoffs. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through what we expect this bracket is going to look like by the time T1 wins at the very end, okay? And
so we can just put winner final right there, upper bracket.
Just, write T1 at the bottom.
In red.
Yeah.
In red?
No, you're not allowed to write in red. Wolf told me.
No, it's okay, it's okay.
It's only for corrections, it's not a correction.
Yeah, do it.
It's okay.
But because they're the upper. The winner.
No, the upper bracket.
Yeah, upper bracket final. Yeah.
And then we circle them.
And then there's like just T1 at the end.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a team here, but we have to circle them to show that they win. Because that's a given.
Just put T1 at the bottom, because after they've versed each other, then T1's the victor.
Nice.
It's just T1 at the end.
Great. Yeah, there we go.
Awesome.
There we go.
Perfect. Great work.
Beautiful. That's T1 after the way shake.
We're gonna just accept that, right? Like, no one's gonna. Okay, cool.
Yep, that one's
fine.
So,
I don't think anyone's.
On we go.
And so, the first round, what we're predicting, as Wolf's crystal ball has already alluded to, is the fact that KT Rolster is likely to pick Liv Sandbox.
What if we don't agree with Wolf?
No, we can.
Oh,
we can
you
we
don't,
talk
do you
about
not agree?
It. I mean, I am not sure.
Oh.
I'm sure. I'm confident.
It.
Yeah, I'm
Valdez
pretty
like,
sure.
Well, I don't know. I'm like,
okay,
that's
so
why Valdez is not the leader of our bracket.
Before you write it in, Valdez, actually, I do think that this is the right way to do it.
Hold
first,
the pen.
Let's get Wolf's justification as to why KT are picking Liv Sandbox.
Liv Sandbox looked to be the weaker team of HLE versus Liv Sandbox. Like, those are the two options. And I think that...
I should not be writing this.
I think that Liv Sandbox just overall look very out of sorts. Their coordination is very poor right now. And yeah, I know that KT Rolster had a bit of a rough series against Liv Sandbox in round one. Everybody remembers the Wheeler Elder Steals and stuff like that. That was a really crazy series where KT absolutely should have won, but then lost tragically. I don't think they care about that. I don't think that's going to be important. I think that Hanwha Life has an insanely strong bottom lane. That basically out aiming's aiming. Like, aiming is like, I'm the late game scaly guy. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be the late game AD carry. Viper's like, I exist, and I'm going to be doing the same thing, and I'm going to do better than you, and I'm better than you at tempo picks like Draven and Lucian as well. I think it's a bad matchup for KT into Hanwha Life Esports because of Viper. And KT looked so good in our final week in terms of how to get ahead and push their leads forward. Liv Sandbox looked like they weren't communicating with each other at all, and they were all over the place. And yeah, they did bring Hanwha to 3, but that was also a weird series where I think neither team played as well as they will in a best of 5. But I just think if you look at the way Liv Sandbox has played not only this last week, but like the last 2 to 3 weeks, they're just the weaker team. And I don't think that it's wise to pick HLE here. It's a much tougher matchup, again, like I said, in the bottom lane.
Yeah. I do agree.
You just concur? Mm. I think they will end up picking Sandbox. However, if they don't, I do think that to Sandbox credit, like, these teams on paper are effectively the same because the game score is like, it's a difference of 2. They have the same score over the course of the split.
I think it's massive.
And okay, well, I know you guys are making fun of me. Let me get to my actual point, which is that if they end up avoiding Sandbox and going for Hanwha instead. I think that Sandbox, when they looked good, which they haven't for the last 2-3 weeks, I actually thought that they looked like a much more well-rounded team than Hanwha. Because Hanwha, to me, have great individual players, but I still, barring the days where Clit actually shows up, see a lot of weakness. And I think that Sandbox, on average, they're probably going to be a 3-0 for whichever team ends up facing them. But I also think that they have a higher chance of actually beating you than Hanwha if they are on the day. So I think it's a lot more volatile.
I think the Viper envy gap is so large.
Yes, I agree.
That it is kind of insane to choose Hanwha over them.
I do think that Hama's recent win over Liv Sandbox is going to be a big decider as well. Because not only, you know, we talked about how KT had rough times in...
What? Oh, wait, that's... I'm an idiot. Oh, it's very pretty handwriting, though.
Yeah, I think we should let Chronicler do all of them from now on.
Yeah, I'm kind of into this.
I'm going to put this away.
You can do any corrections because you have the red pen.
Yeah, I'll cross it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that in a best of three. Also, KT have this like extra added emphasis on trying to win as hard as possible so that hopefully T1 do not select them. Because, I mean, Genji's not an easy opponent either, but I think they are easier than T1. And I think that KT might actually stand a chance against Genji. They even have the same series score over the regular season. And while that doesn't mean everything, that should be a more even matchup than having to play against T1 and going right down to the loser's bracket.
I want to double down on your point about the like win-loss not meaning everything. I feel like it means almost nothing when we talk about playoffs. It's really about how your form is at the end, right?
Yeah.
That's another reason why like HLE and Liv Sandbox are both 10-8, but when did those wins come through? For Liv Sandbox at the beginning of the season, now most of the losses coming at the end. For HLE, a lot of their losses at the beginning of the season, wins coming in at the end. And then you look at like Gen G, KT, Rollster, D+, they're all so close in terms of the score, but like it's really current form, I think, that's more important. Like your wins in the early part of the season are how you get into that second round for Gen G and how KT gets third place and gets selection in the first place. So it's important in that sense. But like in terms of standings, I'm like, it's all about how you're looking at the end. And every team but Liv Sandbox in the playoffs looked really good at the end.
We all watched the Hanwha Sandbox series, right? Like that was... I don't think that was a great sign for Hanwha at all. They won.
I think that, like, yeah, that's
wasn't
true.
A good sign for Liv Sandbox either.
No. I'm not saying that Sandbox is worse, but I actually, like, half agree. I do think that the Gen G, KT, DK are very close. But I'd personally argue, I think Sandbox, or Hanwha rather, is closer to Sandbox than they are to D+, KT, Gen G.
I think that in best of threes, maybe. I think in best of fives, Kingen, Zekka, Viper, and even Clid, I hazard to say, has in the past found clutch moments even within best of
fives.
I say this like...
Hey, 2021 Worlds Clid was great.
I know. There have been times. There have been times. The Clid-demption was very short this particular season.
It was fiery.
But it may make a reoccurrence. You never know. It might be like that heart monitor. Keeps coming back. But I just find it really difficult to count out Viper, Kingen, and Zekka in those sort of moments because it feels like they do have that tenacity when it comes down to it. Yeah. And tenacity is kind of what it's all about these days with Orcs turning up and bringing all these Chemtech souls.
I think to the LCK. Yeah, we all have like different reasonings, but I think we can all... You know, after this discussion, like I said at the beginning, I'm like, I'm not so sure. But I think after this discussion, like, it's pretty obvious that Liv Sandbox should be the weaker of the two.
I agree.
Although, yeah. I'm kind of with Chronicler on the idea that they're somewhat close because although I think that Liv Sandbox's rough moments have looked really rough, I also think that Hama Lifes have been like, you guys have so many talents. What are you doing? Like, yeah. Why are you not playing the game? Like, what is going on? So a lot of like really big confusing moments for me where I'm just like, what am I watching, you know? And a lot of that happened with Hama Life as well, so I think that DK has avoided most of that, so I do feel that kind of gap more between DK and Hama than Hama and Liv Sandbox.
Yeah, I have that mid lane play from Clid just replaying in my head over and over again.
Mistakes
I'm still trying to work out why.
No, I feel don't. Like we've all had some really strong opinions about a lot of these teams at the end of the season based off of one misplay and mistake. Peanut's misplay around the Elder, Clid's misplay mid.
I think Gen G are awesome. I don't have any strong opinions against Gen G.
I'm just saying, like, I think there have been moments where we're all like, okay, this was a weird moment, right? Like, this was a bad thing. But, like, the consistency minus some of these mistakes, like Chovy getting caught earlier on in the season as well at the end of that KT series, the consistency has been there for four of our six teams. And two of our six teams has not had that, right? And that's HLA and Liv Sandbox. Because, like, sometimes you can make a mistake, and sometimes people like the meme, like, oh, Genji must be weaker because Peanut messed this up that one time. I'm like, yeah, but, like, 99 out of 100 times, like, he's where he needs to be, and he's doing a good job, right? And for HLE, they can both go toe-to-toe with T1 in the macro game, make some really decisive calls on, like, Baron versus Drake and stuff like this. And then otherwise just kind of run it down and have like a terrible laning phase and you're like, nobody's on the same page. Clid is just like trying to force fights that don't make any sense. And then Zekka and Kingan are shut down. They're not communicating.
Draven Ashe losing to Zeri and Leona.
Like these things like are so glaring compared to like, okay, Peanut messed up that one time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's a good take.
And I think that I look at HLE and I'm like, they could randomly be going to the finals if they actually play to the peak of their level every time in these best of fives. But I just can't, I can't expect that's going to happen right now.
I mean, if they go five games, if it's like, if there's a game four that is won by Humble Life Esports in their series against D+, they win game five. I guarantee, if there is a game five,
I don't know.
They win game five.
I don't know.
I think that like they should never get to a game five. However, if there ever is one, they win it.
I feel like Kenyon, Showmaker, and Deft at this point also deserve a decent amount of confidence, no?
I think that Kenyon there as well. Kenyon looked a little bit rough after losing game one to Gen G. Like game two looked like he purposely didn't pick Lee Sin when it seemed like a good spot in the draft, and then he just, I forget what else he picked, Xin Zhao, and then I don't know. It just felt like he had lost all confidence. So I'm a little bit worried, you know. I mean, obviously, the guy is a world's MVP, so it's kind of hard to say that. But current form and everything, I'm a little bit worried after that Gen G series.
I would say, I think, to Atlas's point, given what happened with DRX at Worlds, like, we have to give credit to these players, right? Deft is someone that, like, needs to be respected here. We're talking about him. But on the HLE side, you have Kingan and Zekka, who popped off, right? And Kingan had an amazing fifth game.
Speaking of
the World's
MVPs.
Finals. Yeah, exactly. So, like, you have that angle. I think that on D+, you have Deft is going to be confident in Game 5 kind of thing. It does kind of feel like this series is going 5, right? It kind of feels that way. So, like, talking about
microcosm. I think it's 3-0 100%. But if it ever did, that's a Humble Life win.
Because I think, well, just to my point, yeah. I think it might go 5. Like, I'm kind of leaning that way, especially with Blue Side being so strong and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually feel like the clutch player for D+, people might assume it's going to be Deft, but I think it's going to be Showmaker. Like, he looked so good in that Gen G series.
Yeah.
He was destroying Chovian lane. He was everywhere he needed to be. Like, Kenyon kind of choked a little bit, but Showmaker did not, like, at any point in that series. I feel like that's the one angle you got to be focusing on as a D+ fan. If you go to Game 5, you're like, okay, I don't know about Kana. I'm a little bit worried. I'm a little bit worried about Kenyon based on what we saw in that one isolated series. But Showmaker is going to show up. I think Deft is probably going to show up. And I think Kellen's going to show up.
That series to me is so weird because we're not really, I assume we'll talk a little bit about KT Sandbox. But I like I said, I don't expect that
to have
any angle.
We should talk about
angle.
It still.
Talk about it a little bit. But talking about D+ and Hanwha, looking as well how the teams have looked, there's been, for both of them, even though I think D+ is a much stronger team, have been days where they just looked like nothing is working at all. And I'm really worried that series is just going to be a 3-0 either way. Where, like, if everything comes together on a day, and I think that odds are that it's D+, because I think that they have way more players that are always on. Whereas Humble Life, some days, Zekka's amazing, but some days he isn't there. Kingan, exactly the same. Obviously, Viper is not included in any criticism because he is amazing and has been really he's been the only player I think at Humble who's like
apart
just been
from
good.
The Draven game, like in lane, him and Life
Last
did not play it
a little bit
sure rough. But I also think that I have Life very low on my list of supports, and I do think I played a large part, and I think the consistency of Viper is something that I'd never question. So I'm really worried that one is going to be like super underwhelming. If Clid doesn't show up, like there is no.
Oh
angle.
Yeah, no, it's live or die by the Clid. Like either you Redemption. Get Clid or it's Eastwood making his way in. You know, and it's like we're having a real hard time.
I actually think that what's so interesting about this bottom matchup is we've talked about this on the show a lot, and I've gotten a lot of flack for my opinion that Deft hasn't been as successful and D+ hasn't been as successful when he's not playing like strong side bottom where he's got the Draven or the Caitlyn or the Lucian where he's winning super hard. And teams have actually just fallen into this trap so many times where they just give Deft these picks and he absolutely destroys. But I think that's what he is amazing at. We obviously know Deft can play late game carries. He has played so many throughout his career. Like, he's most famous for that, actually. But in the microcosm of this season, he's looked great there, and Viper seems to be, of the two, better in the late game. But his laning phase is weak. So I think a lot of this is going to come down to the draft. And like, if I was going to say like a Sword and Shield type comparison, but it's really almost like a Zeri and a Lucian. Like, Deft is the Lucian and Viper is the Zeri. In this case, more so Xayah that he's playing more often. But I think if it comes down to if Deft has to play late game and actually Viper gets the strong side pick, like if he's playing Draven, I actually favor Viper in that scenario more than I favor Deft. And then if Deft is, you know, obviously playing the Lucian, for example, into a Zeri matchup, he's playing the Draven, or he's getting an advantage with a different matchup, he's trying to play the Aphelios in a counter matchup. Like, I like Deft when he has the counter there, and I like D-plus when he has that. And I know I've said this, like, a million times, I've said it all season, but I feel like that still hasn't changed. And if Deft gets tripped up a little bit in some of these drafts where he's not actually able to have control, and then Canyon's not feeling great, and he's not having power in other lanes, the prio game goes to HLE. I feel like HLE will out-teamfight D-plus if they go even or ahead every single time. So that's what I'm concerned about. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen that way. And last time HLE met D-plus, they just let Deft have whatever he wanted, and they destroyed them. But maybe they've learned from that, so who knows?
I have an interesting thing to discuss about D-plus, if we're just going to dive on them just for 1 second. And by dive on, I don't mean, like, you know, it's not a pile up.
Super dive.
Yeah, we're going to super dive. So
Burst it.
I feel like D-plus's drafts in the final week, in week 9, were risky, to say the least. I actually think that, like, it was the most fast and loose champion picking. How much, like, I'm, like, tempted to suggest perhaps they were doing it on purpose. Because they're definitely going to be in, you know, relatively high on the standings. Getting first round, are they really scared about that against the opposition that are presented to them? Maybe. I mean, I don't think you ever want to actually take that risk. And I think that they thought they'd be able to actually beat Gen G there. But I felt like, especially against T1, those were some out-there drafts.
Yeah, I felt like, I think there's some truth to that, where they were like, let's try to win without showing anything, if we can. And it was a really risky decision.
Or maybe their take on the meta wasn't actually there, and they didn't have to do some of the things that they did. And now, with some extra time, they've realized their mistakes. I think their mid lane picks were fantastic, but I think outside of that, things were a bit risky. Kanna also had a shocking series in their last one, but
yeah,
he was playing Cannon.
It's nice. A pretty good pick, theoretically. Good
electricity.
I kind of echo what Wolf was saying, but I don't necessarily think it's about Deft specifically. I think that Damwon play better because they don't really function when they have a lead. And that, to me, obviously, with everything, the disclaimers, barring T1, I think they are the best team that with pushing leads, and when they have a lead, I think they're the strongest again. Barring T1, for obvious reasons. And I think that's why they really rely on their bot lane actually having pressure. And I think that their team fighting has really suffered, and that's where we see that Hanwha is... That's the only place where I'd say Hanwha can match any team. Like, it's their team fighting, right? Like,
that's front what I'm to saying, back, yeah. I agree.
King and on a tank, Viper on a carry. Like, that's the only way where I think Hanwha are, like, actually good. And that's why I think that D+, if they do have a good read on the meta... should never lose against Hanwha. It should be 3-0 because Hanwha's early game have been very unimpressive. And D+ should just win the early games. It's also why I think that D+ never have a shot against teams like T1 or Gen G, because T1 has a better early game and Gen G can actually match them and is then, I think, way more consistent mid to late, because that's where D+, I think, have struggled the most, is when the early game doesn't go the way that they have been, when they've been most successful. And then Canyon just tried to, like, hard force weird plays, and they kind of fall apart.
Canyon can't play the same style that he did at the beginning of the year, even in the past, right? Like, I remember he was having a lot of success even last year, just kind of, like, hanging around certain lanes and kind of camping them. We saw that a lot at the beginning of this year. I'm a little bit worried that he's not going to be able to do the same, whereas Clid, you know, you can say what you want about him, but I think he's got more of, like, a overall map focus. You know, sometimes it doesn't seem right, but, like, He's not always focusing on the bottom lane and hanging out there. He's not only, you know, going mid or top. He's like kind of, you know, you remember that Vi game where he ganked top, came mid, ganked there, went bot, ganked there, had success all around. Like, I think he's kind of got that angle. And to the point of the team fighting, I would say that, you know, Hanwha Life Esports were able to force it against T1. If they're up to their game, I'm pretty sure we're going to get an upset.
Yeah,
the
weird thing is, like, the more we talk about this, more I'm like, I think Hanwha wins, actually.
Right?
Like, wait a minute.
It's very strange also, because...
consider this, like, we don't know if it's going to happen. Like, it might be fixed, but I doubt it because we're playing on the same patch. Like, Viego is disabled. Lee Sin's banned every game. Canyon can't play Lee Sin in the specify, probably. It's probably not going to happen.
Well, there's a ban that has to be forced.
Yeah,
at least.
I assume that Viego will be hotfixed. Generally,
I hope so, but I don't know. But if that's a thing, that's also a problem for
Thursday.
Yeah, that's
in
true.
In this case,
usually
so that's
the turnaround on like really big meta champions is not that bad.
We'll have to see how it goes. I think right now it's a little bit of speculation. You guys might actually have more information than we do.
In terms of like meta stuff as well, it's going to be interesting because I feel like the meta really is in flux right now. Like what you were saying, Max, where DK's read on the meta, you know, was it them purposely hiding picks or did they not understand it or what? Humble Life Esports, I feel like they also have some holes in their meta, but I feel like we might get some games where one team just randomly gets like a big draft edge. Like, you know, Humble Life Esports love to play Zyra Khan. They're just going to pick it, and we're going to get like Kellen playing Renata, and they're just going to like boom them somehow.
The Renata Draven angle.
Yeah, and they're just, it's going to be like so over in like the first game of the series, and we're going to be like, oh crap, like how did that happen? So,
yeah, it does,
I think meta will play a big part in this.
That's actually a really good point, though, about the Zaya, because they have been so reliant on it. Kellen is the best Renata player in our tournament, I think. Besides Carrier, probably, but he hasn't really played it, so hard to judge his current form.
Yeah, and it's not Carrier's best champion, but Carrier is like so far above like everybody else in the universe. It's hard to know.
But like of these two players in the series, like Kellen is going to play the Renata, and Life he might, but like he's not on the same level. And because Viper has been so reliant on that Zyra Khan,
Kellen's Renata the last time they played it though was actually a bit off. It was
Yeah.
That is true.
The whole team was kind of a bit off as well in that Gen G series.
Yeah, I think the Gen G series was deep. Like, T1 is very clearly better. In the Gen G series, I still think that Gen G played much better on the day. But I do think that was a pretty close series. Second game in particular, I think, was actually quite close. And I would expect D-plus to clean up their drafts. And I generally will favor the aggressive team over the team that like kind of is relying on their opponent not to snowball against them. So I'd be heavily favoring D-plus in this one.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they are the ones that have all the agency in this matchup.
Humble Life Esports were able to stop T1 from snowballing against them, which was pretty impressive. They beat them in round one. Round one is whatever, but like round two, I don't know if it was because of Humble Life Esports or what, but like at least in terms of T1 versus DK, like, Humble Life looked quite good against T1, and maybe that's only that one matchup, and it's a really big mental thing. But
yeah, I guess
I don't think so.
That's somewhat true, but I feel like T1 snowballed against them, and then Hanwha still like were resilient more than I would say that like Hanwha stopped the snowball, because I think T1 snowballed really hard, but Hanwha were like, all right, we actually have like one angle
so that's
here.
That's actually kind of
works.
Yeah, I just want to clarify that was kind of like my take on how that went down. I really think this is like draft dependent, because the more I think about it, I'm like, well, if D-plus get all these sick picks, like it's going to be so easy. But I'm like, what if they don't? Like they're going to get totally smashed. I think it's going to be like a best of five that's decided by draft. And I think it was Max Atlas who said earlier, like, probably feels like it's going to be a 3-0 one way or the other. Like,
it's a 3-0 if D-plus win and Hama win in a five game.
Because I've like gone from I've gone full circle in this discussion where at the beginning I was like, yeah, 3-0 no matter what. Then I'm like, no, it is going 5. And now I'm like, no, it's going to be a 3-0 no matter what. Like, this series is so difficult to predict.
I think if you're going to predict that Humble Life Esports are going to do it, the game score is there for you. Same with if D-plus is going to win.
So, but are we in agreement that it should probably be D-plus? Or do we want to...
I think it should probably be D-plus.
On paper, it should be.
I'm worried, but I feel like
I can't predict
the chance for an upset.
What did the water say?
Oh, the water say Hama. But that's the waters.
I think I'm saying DK.
So we got three DKs.
Yep,
but Max's waters are there in case the upset happens.
I mean, my waters did get me first place in the standings prediction.
Exactly.
That's a scary thing.
So, who wants to go first on the next matchup, which is...
Well, we didn't talk about KT versus the Sandbox.
Well, that's why I was sounding the way I did.
I can go first. Yeah, KT look really, 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 really strong, and I don't think Liv Sandbox have a chance. It's a 3-0 for me.
Okay, hear me out. I'm the Sandbox copium guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Kyle.
Kyle. Willer. Birdle when he's good. I don't got nothing. I think it's a 3-0. Like,
I mean,
no matter
close
what,
in my even, win lane a couple of times.
Yeah, my issue
the
is that
top gap is so gigantically large.
Yes, so
that even today's match of Keen versus Rascal, like That one looked incredibly one-sided.
God, that was so fun to watch.
My core issue is, and I don't think it matters because of how big the individual gap is. The only one I think that can match is Wheeler when he's really on, but he also needs laners, which I don't think he'll have, and closer with like one of the four champions that he plays really well, which I don't think he'll get. Yeah. So I don't expect that to matter.
Closer, it's not his meta. Like his Veigar has looked really bad. Yeah. His Talia has looked very middling.
He's got melees and Ahri.
His Yone is really easy to just see coming a mile away and just ban away. His Sylas is really irrelevant if they just don't play Gnar. Like, Sylas has gotten pretty weak. Like, I don't think we think this is a strong pick blind or anything like that right now. So I think BDD has his number. I think Keen has the top side under wraps. And, like, on a good day with, like, Lucian or maybe Zeri, like, maybe Envy could outperform aiming. But, like, that's a big maybe for me.
I just wanted to look at Max.
BDD has a really good patch.
It's an amazing patch. We haven't even... I think Zoe's
except Azir is gone, but like besides
true.
That.
Yeah, but
actually,
I mean,
Zoe's good as well.
BDD hasn't needed Azir so much.
No, he just plays Talia.
Year. And like his Talia has always been absolutely amazing. Like, and no one's been picking Zoe, but if that does come back, then that's like super fun. His Yone is amazing.
Yeah. No, I mean, BDD has been... It was my third pick as well for Opera because it's just been insane.
It was my second
for me.
I still won with Trophy. So after the Deep Lost game, I'm like...
Yeah.
But what I really wanted to say, and that's actually, as much as I love Kael, that bot lane is never going to win. And if you're losing against the KT bot lane, like it's done. Because I think, not that the bot lane is their weak spot, but to me, the core of this team is Lahenz and how he impacts the rest of the map. And
if you
is,
can allow the space for aiming to be by himself, it's so huge.
Because Lahenz's map impact is the best of anyone bar carrier. Can we just add that disclaimer for anything? Because otherwise we have to keep...
Yeah,
it's annoying.
We don't need to keep saying
every,
it.
Yeah. It's obvious,
just have,
right?
Maybe we could just have a picture
disclaimer.
Of carrier's
best
face.
Non-carrier
over us.
Best non-carrier or best non-T1.
He's part of the carrier cult now. He's just up there with a halo around them at all times.
That's the only angle, and that's why I think like Gen.G, for example, or D+ with the right draft against KT, I'm like, I can see it, because as good as their top side is, without Lahenz, they become less lethal, but in this sandbox matchup, like, there's no way Lahenz will be stuck in that lane, so I think it's just doomed.
So Valdez has gone with my crystal ball prediction.
Yeah, I actually messed up because I just put D+ here, but we should talk about whether this is going
to
happen.
Yeah, who's going to choose who?
I actually think that T1 will choose DK.
Do you
I don't think they
think
will
so?
Choose KT. Yeah, I don't think they will.
All right, I want to hear about that.
Well,
I was thinking so explain well. Yourself, Val Dooney.
So I was thinking about this purely based on how we expect the series to go now that they're there. Because I think that with KT getting Live Sandbox, they have a chance to look real good.
I think that's a part of it, right? Like, I think that's something I mentioned before. Like, KT are probably going to make this extremely quick 3-0 against Live Sandbox. They're going to look really strong in multiple lanes and multiple different ways. And I think that T1... Although you can pretty much pick anyone, you still are going to pick the weaker team. That's what they've always done as an organization. And I think Humble Life actually stand a chance to give DK a run for their money. I think that series is going to be a lot more messy. We're going to see some weaknesses of DK that I think Humble Life can exploit. And I think that T1 will say, hey, well, we learned a lot more about what to do against DK than we did about what to do against KT. Especially with KT on this massive roll, like, you never want to put yourself in front of a moving train, and they're like on a 6-game winning streak. They're beating lots of great teams. They beat Gen.G. Like, I don't know. I just wouldn't want to get in front of KT, and I think it's only going to get even more severe after the first round of playoffs.
Yeah, I feel like KT are actually the second strongest team right now.
That's a bold statement.
Maybe. That is pretty bold. I'd say there is a chance, but we don't know.
They looked like the second strongest team in the LCK in their games today, but they were playing against DRX.
But I mean,
what about
the
last
before.
Five
well,
series?
Because
well,
they beat the actual second place team.
Yeah, but Gen.G is the only team that has gotten like, and obviously Gen.G at their worst have had like some of the worst moments in the league, right? Peanut walking away, him getting caught. There was the catch on Chovy, I think it was in round robin one.
Yeah.
But they are also the only team where I felt like they had a genuine chance of beating T1.
What about Hanwha?
Well, I think Hanwha had a great, like, individual games against them. but I feel like the Genji, the
they
position.
They did beat them.
Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah,
a long
well,
time
I
ago.
I agree, but I think.
That was basically the Dark Ages.
I know, but uh-huh. I think that enough time has passed that match doesn't mean that much to me, and I don't think that T1 would have that happen again. And my main thing is that Genji against most other teams to me has been miles ahead.
It's interesting because
except against KT.
Well, I know. Like, yeah,
and but KT yeah. took a game off T1 in round one as True. Well. And even though things weren't as close after that, I think it's. I don't know. That's sort of my like gut feeling. Recency bias, of course, is actually important, right? Because which team is on form. A lot of our discussion has sort of rotated around KT actually having a pretty good meta right now for what their players want to do and how they want to perform. I don't know. The more we talk about it, the more
I'd
I'm
say
like,
the form of Genji is
are we getting
also
Telecom
good.
War final?
Yeah. I'd say that so, like Paze and yeah. Chovy are really on form, right? So
that's
they've
true.
Got some
that's
good
true.
Form too. So they've improved since their match against KT.
Mm.
Here's the main reason why I think KT will get chosen by T1. And okay, one side reason, which I think is an important reason, is
you
that
want
I think,
it to happen.
Well, there's not that. There's not that. I do kind of want it to happen because I think it'll be really cool. And I think we might miss this matchup otherwise.
I really hope so.
But I think D Plus is a stronger team than KT right now, in my opinion, even though they're below them in the standings, which, like I said before, doesn't matter to me that much at all. But I also think that D Plus, these players, some of the coaching staff, know T1 so well. And they've played against each other in best of fives so many times. KT has not played against T1 in a best of five in like a million years. And I think if you're T1, there's some pitfalls you could fall into. They're really good at what they do. But D Plus has played against it a million times. I think they know how to stop some of these snowballs. I think their cross maps have been good. I thought KT played very well macro-wise today specifically, but otherwise they've had a lot of hiccups in the mid-game. They're like 6,000 gold up and they like can't do Baron. They're like chasing people around the map. They've looked a little bit lost. And like when they didn't do that today, they looked scary, but again, it was DRX. I think D Plus, if you make a mistake, they will punish you harder. I think they know how T1 draft. Showmaker knows this team so well that he can decide what he wants to play against Faker. That's a strong point potentially for Showmaker because he's looked really on form at the end of the season. Not to say that BDD hasn't, but I feel like Showmaker knows what he wants to do against Faker, and he knows Faker's tendencies better than BDD does. I know that sounds weird because BDD is like an extremely veteran player, right? I'm a little bit worried that if you pick D plus, like the series actually could expose you, even if you win as T1. Like you actually play a tough series against D plus, and then like you actually get exposed, and then the next team that faces you, even if you win, like has so many extra advantages. Whereas I feel like against KT. Like, if KT wins, it's like, damn, KT's good. But that's what you learned. But I think, or if it's, like, close, like, damn, KT's good. But how well will KT play? Like, will they actually hit those macro benchmarks? I'm kind of betting no in this series, actually.
So, very short point as well. And this isn't even about recency bias, but KT's, like, last few opponents have also been very straightforward. Where we talked about like the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're due an upset. Freaks. The upset.
That's, yeah, that's well, not even that, but I do think that it's always because I think KT, without a shadow of a doubt, belong up there with D Plus and Gen G. But I also think that they look a little bit better because their last 2 weeks have all been teams that they that we
Gen
talked
G.
about. I think, well, barring Gen G, like I think it's important to mention was Gen G was the first.
Yeah, it was their
eight.
First match of week 8. Yeah.
And then after that, the three matches were... Yep.
They had a really tough schedule, then a really easy schedule.
Exactly.
And they excelled on the tough schedule too, but...
Yeah, they're still really good. But I do think that plays a part with how teams will evaluate them.
I think a lot of our disagreements, comes from how we rate KT versus DK.
Yeah.
Like, I think over here we kind of rate KT a little bit stronger than DK, whereas you guys kind of rate DK a little bit over KT. And I think that's fair. I think it's really close, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to say. And I think that will be ultimately, you know, outside of the small stuff, like Wolf had some good points as to why you wouldn't want to pick DK. I thought, you know, some good points. Like KT is going to smash Lift Sandbox, so and they're really on a roll. Like,
yeah.
I think it's going to be a hard decision.
What about the factoring in of a lower bracket? Because I think you choose D plus because you're the team that you're T1, right? T1. Exceptionally good at bouncing back after a loss. Even if you drop the whole series, I don't think you're too worried, right? You do the research and you come back and you beat them the next time around.
I like
However,
that.
If you crush D+, you never have to face them again. Because there is no way they back it up in the lower bracket.
That's actually like...
I don't know about that.
That's kind of a sick argument. But
no,
like,
because look at the weeks that D+ have had. They haven't been able to back up their losses. They tilt out of their minds.
That is true.
And they need a lot of, like, they need to face, like, a Nongshim that they can beat really easily to get back into that momentum again.
That's
been this whole year.
What if that's just Hanwha? What if they just dunk on Hanwha? What do you do as T1 then? Like, what if TK dunk on Hanwha? Do you definitely choose
KT? Well, then you're just
T1,
so you're better, so you just beat them, and then if...
Like, but maybe that's DK's bouncing back.
But if you don't beat them, then you're in the lower bracket, right? So you're not actually, you're T1.
Yeah, but then, like, I actually agree with the first part that T1, even if they do lose, will still be my clear favorite to win the entire split. But I'd actually argue the opposite, that if you lose against D+, you actually do get worried. Because then they just get to cruise through the upper bracket, and then they kind of can maintain their
momentum. So my argument against you is just that, like, winning winners finals is actually so important because of the advantages
really
that you
big.
Get that it's like, yeah, you could do it. And like, I do trust like what you're saying about T1. And I actually think it's like a really good argument that you have. But I think T1 will always choose just getting to the winner's bracket finals and like taking the easiest path there and just studying their opponents, even if they're not facing them and being like, I'll be fine.
But also KT are technically the stronger team. From their point of view, KT,
I think that's up to debate.
It's up to debate, right? But like, the point is that on paper right now, KT are the more dangerous choice.
Yeah.
Because they're third and D+ are fourth, right? So if you're looking at from like purely that perspective, and especially on current form, right? I'd put KT above DK based on that. So it will be a feeling choice for T1 regardless. So you're choosing between two difficult options, and yes, there's a lot of history between a lot of the players that give it that make it a better choice theoretically to
best
go against
of five
KT.
Experience
yeah
you know.
Yeah, all these sorts of things, but like BDD at Worlds was like one of the, like, prior to last year, the dark ages of 2022 we don't want to talk about, but prior to last year
that
I
one best of five where it was a good first two games and then the rest of the games happened.
Like BDD in that year was like the best mid laner in the world. He was absolutely incredible.
That lineup almost made it to the world's finals.
Yep. But instead it was Viper, so it's hilarious how these things happen.
What if T1 choose DK so that KT can beat Gen G on the other side of the bracket again?
Oh, kind of hype.
I think
they have their number. No, so you don't choose KT so that KT can snipe Gen G and put them in the lower bracket.
Because you know that D+ is never
winning. Put them on the back foot. You know,
and then you definitely eliminate DK by doing that.
It's a win-win.
But there's also the other thing that you can get into the heads of DK. You feel like if you beat them the first time, you can always beat them again. So even if they get through,
we're going in too deep.
Oh god!
Realistically, here's one thing I'll say, and then we probably have to like do a vote to decide what we're going to do on our little like predictions bracket.
Yeah, we have to
I think it's
get
probably the
this.
KT thing.
But
yeah,
I think T1 is scared of no one.
Yeah, no,
I actually think they do not care even a little bit. Like, they're not afraid of anyone.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because they're there.
No. We're trying to work out what the smarter choice is, I guess.
All right, maybe we should just vote.
But we also, the tough part is we haven't seen the matches, and I'm 100% certain that those are going to play a part in who T1
is. T1 will choose whoever they think is weaker, I think.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Like, we're going really deep, but
so,
I think who they think is weaker.
So, yeah. I do think it's extremely likely still that this will just be Gen G, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
T1,
whoever they face, I expect Gen G to go up against...
Even if it's KT, I think Gen G will win in a best of five. Yeah,
I agree.
Although, it's kind of close.
Just one more
point.
Like. I think KT beats them in a best of five.
I mean, I think that's a fair argument. But do we think it's most likely?
No, I don't.
I'd say probably not most likely.
That KT wins versus Gen G.
Should
in best
we vote on do we think this is going to happen? Because I don't think this is going to happen.
No, I think... Wait, you don't think this is going to happen?
Yeah, I think T1 will choose DK.
Okay. Let's vote on that.
I vote T1's picking KT.
I think they're picking KT.
I think they're picking DK.
So we're down the middle.
Yeah, we're down the middle.
I mean, we'll just go with this thing.
We can just go with this. It doesn't really...
Yeah, I think that's okay. Although, I think that if you were going to default
you default to who the weaker team is on the standings.
Sure. Can do that. True. That's fine. Yeah, I think that's a good argument.
Well, we just talked about how that doesn't matter. Like, we spent like the first half of this episode being like, well, the standings don't really matter. It's about how good you are.
No, the standings don't matter, but it's to break a tie. To break a tie, they can
to break a tie and for a hypothetical bracket.
It's the fifth.
I think it's fine.
KT also beat Gen Z recently. I don't know.
I do agree.
I already did my crystal ball thing, so like if you Wolf's guys
got
are
another
wrong,
bracket,
like, all right,
yeah, this is our new bracket.
And if you guys are right, I'm like, yeah, cool. I
bring
was
out
with this.
This is my bracket. Get the second whiteboard in, gang.
I mean, this is not. We'll like do our. We'll do our own. I think we'll do our own predictions.
We all get our own whiteboard behind us, and we just scribble our bracket. Thank you.
KT. So, in this scenario.
We're going to follow this.
Yeah, we can follow this for now, and then maybe we can do the other one.
These matchups, then? T1 versus DK?
I mean, kind of just did, right?
We did.
Yeah.
So T1 win.
We didn't talk about Gen G KT, which I think is an important discussion to have.
That's the one matchup that is also probably going to... And then I think we've covered most of them. And then we can go and actually feel it out. Although, spoiler alert,
yeah,
it's T1.
Kerry is still watching.
Yeah.
By the way, interestingly, I think both sides of our tables here, analysts and player players, I think both think Gen G wins against D+, right? If it is the Gen G.
100%. Yes. Yeah, 100%.
And like, so like, it's possible that it ends up being we get Gen G KT like no matter what, based on like either which way the bracket goes. Because KT, if they go up to
eventually.
T1, they lose. And then Gen G wins against D+, so like they'll fight. Otherwise, we get it in this matchup where T1 don't choose them and then they face
Gen G.
So we get to have a discussion about Gen G KT no matter what.
Yeah, because it's very relevant. Because it's either going to, like you're saying, it's either going to happen in like the round 3 or round 4, most likely.
There's no way D+ beats Gen G, I don't think any of us think. So no. I think the Gen G KT discussion is an important one that maybe we should do now.
Yeah, I think that's the only one that's. Because looking at it, that'll decide who the upper bracket and lower bracket are. Gen G versus KT, I think, is KT at this point. Almost, like, I'm 80% sure that it's a KT.
Explain your reasoning.
I think Keen is so much better than Doran, it's absurd. I think that Cuz is actually performing really, really well at the moment. And I think Peanut, in high-pressure situations, has been faltering a lot more than he has in the past. And we've honestly spoken about Peanut choking for, I don't know, since before I joined the LCK. It's been, like, it's always a thing. Cuz has actually been crazily consistent for the last round. And that's not the player that he's been in the past. Cuz and Peanut also have a long history with each other. They both know each other's tendencies very, very well. Cuz learnt under Peanut for quite some time after, you know, he joined Longju. I think that it's, like, it's a really interesting matchup. And I also think that... KT on the bottom side of the map don't care about what what Paze and Delight are going to do. Paze and Delight are all about that 2v2, and Aiming and Lehens will nope out of it. I just think they'll ignore, and they'll let Paze like farm and he'll be able to do stuff, but I just don't think that will be a point of attack, and I think Lehens will just win the rest of the map. That's what I think. I think that KT do have a game plan into Gen G that I think they can use as a blueprint for success.
I would have agreed pre-Gen G against D+, because I think what they showed there actually to me was a really big leap in their play style by bringing out things like the Ziggs. Like, I think that Ziggs draft in particular makes me way more scared of Gen G in a best of five scenario, because Paze had never played that. He's never played it in Challengers. He's never played any Majors.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
He didn't look great. No.
His build
was
also really not good.
I agree.
Build-A-Bear.
What?
Where's the Void stuff?
No, he built the Andries against Squishy Kong.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't understand AP mages or something. It was weird.
I think it's very common to build the Andries. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one.
For what
he's trying to accomplish for Poke. Like,
and I'm not saying that Paze was great at it, but I do think that the fact that he can play, that he's willing to play that, means that his team can shift their styles. And it means that you can give more agency to Chovy and Doran. And while I do 100% agree that Keen is better, I also think that Doran has shown that, yes, he has his moments where he looks like, Doran, what is happening? What are you doing? But he is also, to me, one of the strongest top laners at, like, not losing. Right?
Clutch,
like, when it comes
team
to
fights. Clutch team fights.
As well. But when it comes to, like, as much as I would never call Doran better than Zeus or Keen, I do think he's really good at losing gracefully in a way that not many other top laners in the LCK are.
And he also takes a lot of draft bullets for his team.
He's the king of R4
which is important.
Blind. Mm-hmm. And I think that Delight has been unlocked in the current meta as well. And that is the one reason, like, Delight on engage reports is a whole different thing. And I do think that as good as Lahenz is, I don't think Delight will be just as good. But I do think that Gen.G can match to a certain extent there. And I think that their current meta actually has been shifting very nicely toward them. Which is why I would favor them over KT.
So I actually echo like almost all the same thoughts. Like in terms of Doran, I'm like the one like unbreakable wall in terms of top lane matchups. Like I feel like Keen does better when he's playing in like a skill based matchup. Yep. Like what he did today with Rascal, he's like, if I actually play perfectly, I'll win. But if he's actually just like punching like a brick wall repeatedly, I feel like Keen doesn't get the advantages he normally gets. And I think Doran can be that brick wall. So that's one reason why I'm like, okay, I like Gen.G here. I also think that Paze is the better bot laner than aiming. And I also think that that Gen.G rather have shown that they can be super clutch. Like, they will actually clutch these teamfights to look unwinnable. They will just play it perfectly. They'll punish. But the only thing, like, I want to go back to just for a second because I know you guys have strong opinions too. The one thing about Doran, like, he's like the unbreakable wall in that matchup. But if he breaks once, series is over. Like, it's like he's like so good at inting, or not inting, but rather like losing his prio for the draft. Like, he's good at that. It's hard for you to crack this guy. Keen, I don't think, is going to get like two kills against him. He's not going to win a 1v2 against Doran and Peanut. But if Doran messes it up once, oh, it's so done. Like, Keen is in his head. He's going to mess it up. He's going to start falling apart. Like, that's one way that could fall apart. But I really lean towards Gen.G. I think they're much more clutch than KT right now. They have a lot more experience as a roster as a whole.
In the regular season. And the thing that I'm like just realizing now is that this is Paze's first LCK best of five. And he's completely untested in that environment. That is a massive amount of pressure to be put on this brand new player. And I think that that is actually going to play a part because aiming has been around forever. And we saw that him on KT, even in like the best of five where they were trying to get to Worlds and things like this, and yes, they did get stumped at the end, but KT was starting to make a run there. And I think a lot of it comes down to the consistency of aiming in particular. And I think that that gives KT even further of an edge against Gen.G in this one, in my opinion. It's a really cool debate, though. I almost said Australianism.
I'm really happy
you could have
that,
said it.
Yeah, we're basically guaranteed this matchup.
Yeah.
It's such a banger.
And actually,
we're so lucky.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
We are.
Look at these teams.
Yeah, we are.
Five-team region
double
again.
Double
Well, the awesome thing, especially on that note, is that our whole playoffs, like, it was really segmented, you know? It wasn't just, like, some teams limping in, even though it may feel like that compared to, like, the top two. I do feel like the top two and the top three maybe are really strong, but like even Live Sandbox and Home of Life are like much better than Kwangdong. So
yeah.
It does feel like we have a really thick bracket of playoffs, which I really like. On the Gen.G versus KT topic, I think that Gen.G will be better in best of fives. I think Paze is going to be okay. KT, yes, they do have some good moments. I really like what Wolf was saying about Keen into tanks and how he sometimes, like,
a good point.
He gets, like, really antsy, and he's like, I'm just going to do this crazy thing. Like, maybe I can, like, find an angle. He gets, like, way over-aggressive sometimes. So I'm a little bit worried. Like, he looked great in these, like, more laid-back series against CRX where he can just, like, pound against some of those laners. But, like,
I mean,
I think that should be okay. It's Rascal, like, against five people sometimes because he's on that
There's
team.
There's a difference
even
playing
Rascal
a skill
like,
matchup and hitting a Gragas, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think he might be hitting a Gragas a little bit this series.
I think that Paze will be okay. I have him really highly ranked on my AD carry thing, not only because he is really mechanically talented. I think he's really dealt well with his first LCK season. Like, to that point, I have high expectations for him to handle the pressure because he already kind of has in a certain way. Like, I remember his first series was against T1, and he looked kind of like, you know, a little baby crawling. But he didn't look, like, terrible. He didn't make any huge mistakes. He just looked very muted and, like, invisible, basically. But since then, he's looked much better, improved a lot. He's been a lot of the core of, like, how Gen.G even draft. They're like, we're going to pick Uzeri and then four tanks, and then you just do it and carry us. He's had games on Lucian where it looked like he was 1v9ing and against really strong teams under a lot of pressure, and those are best of threes, but I just think he's got it in him to, like, step up to the bigger stages. So we'll see. You might be right. Like, maybe he does crumble. I would say that aiming hasn't necessarily been very clutch in my mind either. I think that KT, if they do end up winning, it will be through Cuz really being on form, because he really is on form. Yeah. A lot of these KT players really rely on being on form, and if they're not on form, it's like, oh, God, like, what happened? Cuz being one of them, BDD sometimes, Keen sometimes as well, and I think Lehens is really on form as well. So the form is there, but I think right now KT is the stronger team. I wouldn't say, like, 80-20, but maybe, like, 60-40. I think it should be a fun matchup. Like, I'd probably predict 3-2
the more for I think
Gen
about it,
G in this one.
The more I think about it, the more I think that it's Wolf's thing about the punching a brick wall situation. It's so funny because it's mirrored towards the bottom side. Because aiming's kind of that as well. He'll just deny you this laning phase.
Yeah, but I don't think that Genji needs to have... I think that the worst when Paze has looked is if Genji does put him on a matchup where he needs to win early. Because I think him and the Light in the 2v2, even though they got, like, the double kill this week.
So just pick him Zarian Ziggs. I mean, yeah, he doesn't have to care.
The Zarian level 6 spike may not work a third time
well,
in
that's,
a row.
Well, exactly. Like, I think that's actually where they've been the weakest. But I think that Genji doesn't rely on them winning unless they specifically draft for that. Because I think Paze's team fighting, to me, is actually much more impressive.
He's insane. Delight's team fighting as well. Like, oh my God. Like, give him Rakan. Like, and they're like one of the only teams that understand that, like, oh, you can just pick Rakan without Xayah. Yeah, like, teams are slowly beginning to figure that out. But, like, they were like, no, we're just going to get Delight his Rakan.
We might even get this twice.
You know?
This is a really good point. It could happen twice. This is a really good point, actually, because what Lehens has done that has been so successful is, like, the opposite of Delight. Like, Delight has been, like, pretty good in lane. He's been fine. And he's, like, set up some 2v2s, like, occasionally. But Lehens is, like, the pick guy. He's like, I got him. He's dead. It's a 5v4. Whereas the Light is like, I will change the entire team fight by myself every time.
They're very different styles.
And they're so
really
different.
Cool.
And it's a really cool matchup. I actually think Delights will end up being more relevant, but, like, it's crazy.
Wait. Yeah.
So we have to pick.
We do have three going for Gen G. So
yeah,
I
it's
think,
a three for
Gen
G.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I do think Max has some good points, and
I think it's
good
to entertain them anyway, right? Because I'm sure there's a lot of you guys at home that think the KT are going to win too. Although, if you are a KT fan, you're probably not going to predict that they're going to win. So it's a little bit difficult there.
So that's Gen G, and then we have DK KT.
You do that one.
Yeah.
I'm scared. PK.
Oh, man.
So we can just go ahead and put T1.
I'd imagine.
Yeah, so you put
T1. Put T1 there yeah.
Although
no, T1's here.
Yeah, T1's
oh,
yeah. there.
Oh, we already put him there. Okay.
So Gen G versus the winner of that.
Yeah, so you can put Gen G in there.
Okay. Do we think...
I don't think there's even a discussion that happens there.
Well, we disagreed on who was stronger.
No, I mean for T1 and Gen G. I mean, I'm just clarifying to the fans, like, there's no discussion to be had here. It's a waste of everyone's time.
I know it's a little bit underwhelming, but I would actually like to leave this open because I think it matters. Like, so
we're getting a bit into
on,
the weeds.
We can put Gen G here, though. I'd be down with that.
What?
I think it's T1.
What if it's
Gen
KT and it's the rematch?
No, I think the finals will be. I think Faker was right all along.
No, what if Genji and KT face here, and then it's like, oh my God, who's going to win that? Could be either.
Oh, also fine. Yeah, I'm fine with leaving it open. I'm just, I you know, some things
because
in the LCK are just inevitable. Yeah, because we're going
to
get it for a third time in a row.
I see. Okay.
It's going to happen again.
He's just saying it's going to be T1 Genji because it's always T1 Genji.
It's always T1 Genji.
All right. I don't think it is.
You think it's T1 KT?
I mean, I didn't think that.
Yeah, for Max, it's kind of hard to.
Yeah, it's just sort of like
Max thinks KT wins here against.
Wait, you guys actually think? Wait, does everybody think KT beats D plus?
No,
were.
We had a long discussion on that
about who would be the better choice.
Wait,
for
so what do you think the finals would be then?
And we kind of discussed who we thought is stronger.
Well, we thought. Well, I mean, I think we thought we talked a lot about what T1 would prefer, but we didn't really talk about like what happens in KT versus D plus.
I mean, I would choose KT just because I think they're stronger.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's,
but
so
it's kind of hard to make the call after, you know, we're going to see two best of fives from both of those teams.
Yeah.
Or one best of five before both of the teams.
Well, if we're
going to
finish out the
there.
Bracket, we have to have a discussion about it, right? Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right.
Cryer's like, no, I want to go home here. I'm like, okay,
yeah, I'm good. I have no one more thing. You guys can take this one.
One more thing. But no, you
no, I do think that like the DK versus KT matchup is really interesting though. Especially now, I don't know, with their like their sort of like opposite form in the final week, like KT really having a resurgence, I mean, even though they're against weaker teams and it's easier to see. And DK did have the hardest week of the round robin, right? But they also, you know, did suffer a couple of losses there, and we did see that there were some weaknesses, even in the draft and the preparation and stuff like that.
Do we agree that BDD beats Showmaker in that matchup? I feel like I don't want to trust BDD
in
this
matchup.
I'm also
worried about, like, Cuz, even though he's been really solid, like, maybe Canyon just turns on World's MVP mode, and then if Cuz loses, like, really hard in game one, I'm like, ooh, you know? That's why I think it's really close.
I'd actually take I think current form Showmaker, to me, is the second best mid laner in the LCK.
I mean, this week Showmaker was extremely impressive.
Like, I think just... Yeah. Ever since he like clearly has been feeling better, I think he's been really, really good. It's just that his first round was like really, really rough.
And then they played against T1 and Gen.G.
Yeah. Oh man, that might end up being like one of the. And now I hope it ends up happening. Really excited for that matchup.
All the KT matchups are really exciting.
Yes.
But doesn't that mean there's one thing in common though? Is that we just don't know how KT is going to play, and we think they're good, but we're not sure. And that's like, that's why for me, like, I have a lack of confidence in them, and like almost every time I voted against them here, except against Live Sandbox.
And I'm
like, I'm the biggest KT supporter in the world, right?
Yeah. And I'm the biggest DK supporter in the world, but I don't trust them right now because I can see their weaknesses, and I can, because I'm like, I like this team a lot, but I can see very clearly what it's going to be. So
call it to a vote. Who's going to win?
D plus for me.
KT.
KT.
I'm saying D plus. So then does
So
KT
who's higher?
Again?
Okay. So
wait, but we can't do this again.
Yeah, no.
Let's give them this
one. So now
let's
do
give
D plus?
You this one. Yeah.
Okay. So D plus make it farther due to our Giga Chad generosity.
And look at that. Gen-G? Our big three again going to top three in the LCK.
I've just filled that one in because is anyone going to predict D plus beating Gen.G?
No. We already kind of did this earlier in the bracket, so no.
Also, the thing you were talking about, you know, if they even have crazy picks left, they'll use them in that series. And
they'll have to.
Gen.G's going to, like, have the axe and execute whoever makes it in, so. Yeah.
Till us all this time.
Oh, man. I think it's so interesting.
Except that one time where, like, Lehens was the god of support and there was, like, no way T1 could win.
No. I don't even mean, like, that T1 is winning. More so just T1 Gen.G. I do think T1 will win, but just in general, these teams have faced.
I think this outcome
times.
It's almost more likely to happen if the decision is made differently as well. Like, if you get, like, the DK versus Gen.G earlier, then it's, like, then Gen.G can cruise through even... Oh, man, it's...
Okay, what finals would everybody... If we could just, like, erase the board and then, like, choose a finals that you want of our six teams, like, just pick any two teams.
T1
you could pick Live Sandbox. Which finals would you want?
T1 KT.
I'd want T1 Gen.G.
KT Hanwha.
No, actually, you know what?
I don't want T1 in the final because they'll smash them 3-0.
I want
the closest
one.
No,
T1 Hanwha.
No. Monko, wait.
No.
That's
called
a
heart
for me,
attack.
I just want...
Wait, that's
no,
kick.
I want T1.
I want one of Hanwha,
can't even mean.
KT, or Live Sandbox to be in the finals. Just be, like, assuming that, like if they go to the finals, they're better than we think because they made it to the finals, right? So, like, it's like, why would you want Live Sandbox to the finals? They're, like, our worst team in playoffs. I'm like, yeah, but if they made it to the finals, they would actually be good, right? But I just want a finals where it's not like the same narratives over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Mm. Like, give me like Gen.G D plus. Like, that's kind of different. That's kind of different. Like, we haven't had that in a little while. Like,
Telecom,
you know,
war.
Like,
Telecom war.
Yeah, or that. That's like, that's a cool
it's
narrative
a while,
from like, it's
know,
been like a decade,
back.
You know,
bring
or half a decade since we've been going on that one.
I mean,
so,
to
like,
be honest, like, it's actually super hype because the last time KT beat them in a best of five was what, 2018? I think that was the last time KT beat T1 in a
best of
five.
Was T1 in a best of five in 2018?
Well, they were SKT at the time. But
were they? I think they got 8th in one of those splits.
They did. One of the splits. Yeah. One of the splits wasn't a relevant one.
I guess maybe in the other one.
I think it was a best of series or something like
so
that.
They were
no. KT
they
has
were not
beaten.
In finals, right? Because 2018, KT was against Griffin.
Yeah, he just said best of five.
Yeah, just in like
a playoffs match.
I'm just thinking, like, when was the last time they beat them in a best of five? And I think it might have been like 2017, 2018.
So it's been a while.
Yeah,
I'm down for that matchup. Like, give me that one. Just don't. I mean, this one's cool and all, and it's probably like the best play. But like, I'm kind of over it.
Hear me out. What needs to happen to have KT get there?
I mean.
Just beat TK and Gen.G.
Because that's the most likely.
Lower bracket
right?
run.
I think KT versus Gen.G is KT favored as well.
Yeah, so you'd imagine that they
that's
win
kind of
here,
a hype finals too. If
then
that
lose
happens.
Here, mm-hmm. really and then sick. Win here, and then they face off again.
Yeah,
fair.
I think we get the telecom war earlier on, and then I think that. Yeah,
okay,
they
wait.
Go to the lower bracket.
If T1 pick KT. And then KT upset T1, and we have like a completely wacko bracket that like we'd have to
the
completely
wacko
redo.
The bracket?
I think that's like the way
a
that.
Wacket.
Think about it this way. Okay, just imagine a world where T1 versus KT, like I predicted in my crystal ball, happens, and then T1 loses, and then KT go to the finals, and then T1 does the sick like lower bracket run where they get like revenge and smash it all the way through. Like that's a pretty sick storyline if that happens. I don't think that's gonna happen, but like if that happened, that'd be
that's
really cool.
Yeah.
Man,
what if Hanwha versus Liv Sandbox was just the final?
Yeah.
That
I mean,
would be
the lower
so
bracket,
sick.
I think, is like.
Actually, I don't think it would be that sick.
The debut of the lower bracket is the, like, the T1 Mercy Rule bracket, where T1
you get
smashes
to lose
them so
twice.
Hard that they, like, oh, no, we should give you another best of five.
Okay.
So they go down there and they get one.
Maybe one more question. Like, if anyone beats T1, who is it?
Hmm. Oh, so who has the power to
if
defeat
anyone,
T1?
If anyone ends up...
I think it's Hanwha.
I mean, it's Hanwha.
Gen.G?
I can,
not
I can
in the finals,
see
though.
The angles
it would be
that
here.
It happens for
it would
every
be here,
team.
Not here.
Like, obviously, whatever you're going to say is going to sound insane for obvious reasons.
Right.
But like, Hanwha's the only team that has beaten them. I'm probably going to go with Gen.G as well, even though it's kind of boring because they're second.
I think, like, so in the best of three against DK, and this is going to sound insane, and it is insane because I don't think it's going to happen, but DK were pretty even.
They were, yeah.
For, like, until the disasters happened.
It was a close 2-0.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it was
yeah,
a really
was.
Close
yeah, yeah,
2-0.
Yeah.
Like, there were definite angles for DK to take. I think that, like, DK can play to the level of T1 in the early game better than any other team that we have. And if T1 ever gets any leads, they just win. So I think it's DK that stands the
sure.
best chance. And then if they, like, flip correctly and start the right fight, then maybe they win a game or two.
And for me, it's, like, HLE or KT. I think KT is just, like, if they go through this bracket and actually get a bunch of wins and get that momentum, like, they even if they drop early and then go through the loser's bracket and get that momentum and that hype, like, they're such a momentum-based team. Like, maybe they just come to the finals and they're the underdogs and it's, like, everyone's super excited. Some of these players haven't been to a finals like this in so long, like,
remember, my waters are telling me that DK is not even going to be in this tournament. Like, Hanwha's just going to win. Hanwha's just going to win in the first round.
Okay.
Like, that's what my feeling
it's
is
cursed.
About that first matchup.
It's cursed.
Yeah, but so I'm saying, like,
you have
the team that could beat T1 the best
yeah.
is the team that I'm expecting
everyone,
to potentially just, like, be knocked out straight away.
I want you to keep in mind that Atlas has been doing this since the Deft Hanwha run in 2020 when it was like, oh, Hanwha's definitely not going to make it.
Now
I can
it's either
feel
Hanwha
it.
Or Deft. Like, who was it? Who was, like, the reason for that? Was it the org? Was it the player? I don't know.
I think you know.
Yeah.
I think we all know.
Sure, Waters.
Was it
just
Morgan?
Trying to protect Deft?
Because remember, like, did I get a Deft trading card? No, I didn't.
It
I got
was
a Morgan
Willer.
Trading card.
It was Willer.
In hindsight, you know what?
That team Willer. Was really good.
There was also Vista.
Yeah, I miss Vista, man.
He had a great voice.
Yeah.
Still
he
does.
Though. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. But I think that is... I don't think we have time to go through any more permutations, guys. I think we've had some pretty in-depth
What if Liv Sandbox actually drops out the last possible second and Kwangdong gets their spot? Because three other players have illness. And then we have to put Kwangdong in this bracket. Let's actually... Can you, like, put Kwangdong...
Okay, so that's all we got time for today on the Pog State. Thank you so much for watching our 50th episode here as well. If you guys want to put down in the comments like what your favorite episode was or something like that to commemorate, that would be super cool. You don't have to. You can just put an emoji or say something about why we don't like
Valdez is my 50th favorite commentator.
Your 50th favorite? What?
Yeah, they could say that too in the comments if they
they
wanted.
Could.
Don't do that. Yeah. Valdez,
because they don't like my takes.
Valdez is my top 1 to 50.
There you go.
Favorite commentator.
I'd say he's probably awesome. In my top 75.
Yeah.
Me too.
But for me, every single one of those is Valdez until number 50, and then the rest become relevant. That's mm-hmm. how that one works. My my outro really got screwed up here. Thank you so much for watching, ladies and gentlemen. It has been an amazing time and a beautiful privilege for all of us to be able to bring you the Pog State for 50 episodes. I cannot believe that Ian's been putting up with editing this shit for this long.
We love
oh
you.
My
yeah.
God, just insane.
One,
so
one more thing, though. Like, hold on.
Oh, my God. Shut up. All right. Yeah. Good night, everyone. We'll see you next time for more Pog State. Bye-bye.